Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Champagne Sundays with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigGlenMagazine.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is February 21st, 2021, and guess what? Today is National Sticky Buns Day. So do you have a sticky buns? That's what I want to know. That's the question of the day. But anyway, welcome to BigGlen Radio's Champagne Sunday Show. We are broadcasting live from beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Oh, it's good. It's sad. We've been taking care of our beautiful dog, Luna, Minnie, and Kit Kat, two cats, and had a wonderful time here. And tomorrow we're off to Indianapolis because that's what we do. We go up there for a couple days, and then we go to Florida. So the Love Your Parks tour that we travel full-time, it is back on the road again, and excited. So everyone, you know, we publish Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine, Parks and Travel Magazine. You can see it all at bigblendmagazines.com. We are super excited today. We've got a new game we're going to play. It's a word game, and it's a word prompt to get people to tell all kinds of stories, and you never know what could be told. So we've got some fabulous guests joining us on the show today to play and also to raise a glass of champagne toast, as our usual tradition is. So I think we'll start here in our backyard, and we're going to go to Asheville. And here in Asheville, where we are, just they're over a mountain, I think, or down a street, we've got Karen and Steve. Now, Karen and Steve Wilson, they're known as Mr. and Mrs. Wild, and they are wild in many ways, and they are the owners and innkeepers of the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, and Nancy and I have had the pleasure of staying there back in summer of August, and go to their website, lion-rose.com. Also, you've got to blendradioandtv.com. Type in Mr. and Mrs. Wild. type in cinnamon streusel, French toast, and you'll find Cinnamon's video of making cinnamon streusel. But Steve, welcome. Why didn't you have sticky buns?
Sticky buns.
Yeah, we should have done sticky buns this morning. Had we known that was the day, we should have done that for breakfast.
I know. Yep. It's National Sticky Buns. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm good. How are you all?
Doing good. Yeah. Are we like just a mountain away from each other? Like, we're on
yep,
the,
not even.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So is that Ozzy or is that Oreo? Who's got?
That's
the
Oreo getting beat up by Ozzy.
No. Oh well, that's.
When the guests are away, the dogs will play.
No kidding.
I keep from barking by bringing him up here, but it seems to be worse. So he's chewing on Oreo's legs.
Oh, well, you know, that's why that's not?
Kind of typical for Ozzy.
Yeah.
He's always mumbling or chewing on something. Huh?
Well, that's true. At least he hasn't bitten his head off.
Oh, man. All right. So we're going to go up to Philadelphia now, to Greater Philadelphia region, and we're going to bring Ali Brovadani on. Ali is known as the Trust Architect. She's one of North America's leading experts on trust and is the author of, she's got a number of books and articles, but the latest book is Trust Me, Restore Belief and Confidence in an Uncertain World. Go to her website. It's leebrovadani.com, and that's L-E-A. B-R-O-V-E-D-A-N-I, LeeBrovadani.com, and you can also see her articles and interviews. I listen to her interviews on BlendRadioAndTV.com. So welcome back, Lee. It's just been a few days, hasn't it?
It has, and it's, you know, nice and toasty, 35 degrees here in Philadelphia right now, so no complaints.
Hey, at least,
listen.
You know, so long as we're not in Texas. I feel real bad. That's like my first champagne toast.
Yeah.
Like everyone in Texas, man. It's been rough. It's been brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It really has.
Yeah, it really
and
has.
We're going to be there. We're on our way there after Indianapolis in Florida.
Well, it's warming up. It's up to 60 there, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, snow is melting. So that's good. I'm glad for everyone. So now we're going to hop over the pond over to pretty Norfolk, England. And you know, when we go to Norfolk, that means Glenn Burrows is back on the show. Glenn is the owner of Norfolk Tours, and he is a family history expert. He also runs Visit Breckland. You can go to his website, norfolk-tours.co.uk. And he's got his articles in our magazines. He's on our shows all the time, and he totally rocks. Welcome back, Glenn.
Hi, good to see you all. Or hear you anyway.
Yeah, yeah. How are you doing? How's everything in England?
Everything in England is all locked down, and we can't do anything or go anywhere or see anybody. But apart from that, everything's fantastic.
Wonderful. Well, that's just wonderful. I know. That's how it is, isn't it? Speaking of quarantine, I know our good friends have also been quarantined up in their place in Tucson, Arizona, our old home, our old stomping grounds, and still is. Our storage unit is there. And Michael, why haven't you been checking on our storage unit, our little cube? How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome to have you back.
You know, life in isolation has its challenges, but things are good.
Good.
I'm scheduled to get my first dose on Tuesday, so I'm excited.
Oh, your vaccination. That's good.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Yep. Excellent. Everyone, Michael Ealy is a singer-songwriter, and you can go to his website, michaelandspider.com, and so much history and music and over the years, and we're going to get to play some of his music today. Can't wait for that. And we also want to talk to Mark. Mark Navarro's here, too. Mark is an amazing photographer, and even one of his photos was the front cover of the magazine last year, and you can go to his website, marknavarrophotography.com. So welcome back, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm doing quite well.
Good. Hey, listen, all of us have a connection with dogs. So how's Mr. Frappy? Mr. Frappy.
He's doing pretty good. He's a little tired today because I think we wore him out yesterday. We went for a little drive.
Well, that's rough.
We had him in the car.
He's like a little old man now.
So, speaking of dogs, I want to bring Steve Schneiker on. That sounds really good, Steve. Steve Schneiker, you hear his Hollywood history segments on our shows all the time. He's a performer, a voiceover artist as well. You can find his work on blendradioandtv.com, and he's also the parent to Bella Rose. So, welcome back, sir, Steve. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing very well, and love to you, Nancy. Miss
Percy.
Yeah, good to have
and
you back
good
on.
Good morning, afternoon to all, and good evening to Glenn, all of you.
Hi, Steve.
Hey.
Welcome back.
We love you, of course. Thank you.
It's good to have
you
guys.
I love you too.
We're going to be playing some Hollywood history today too, but back to
Ooh.
Alice in Wonderland. Mm. Do you remember when you recorded that? That was quite a few years ago.
I never remember when I have recorded any of them, to be honest with you. I know it's been throughout the years, 10 years now, but what I ever recorded, I don't remember what I said. My goodness.
Yeah. I don't remember anything. I don't know who we are anymore. You wake up in the morning, it's like, where are we? Are we, on this planet still? I think so. But let's get started with our champagne toast. This is something, a family tradition. It's whatever's going on in the world, whether you're closed in or not closed in, whatever's going on in the world, sometimes it's really negative. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something positive or something fun to raise a glass to. And it does not need to be champagne. It's just our thing that we do. So, Nancy, this is your thing. You started the tradition. So what is your toast today?
I'm toasting to first responders, whether it be floods, fires, whatever, earthquakes. I have to toast for them across the world because, man, I don't know what a lot of people would do without them. So I toast to first responders.
I toast.
Cheers.
Really? Yeah.
Cheers
to first responders. You know, and look at the Texas. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Steve Schneikert, Hollywood historian.
Yes.
What are you toasting
to? I am toasting to my two nephews, their families, my nephew Jeff and his wife Cindy, and to my nephew John, his wife Sally, and their three daughters, because they are living in Texas right now through all of this.
Oh.
Wow.
So
gosh.
I'm toasting to them because they're making it through. So I'm happy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I'm glad they're
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, Miguel, over in Tucson, what are you toasting to?
Well, I know this is going to sound a little unconventional and maybe a little me. But I'd like to read just a short little poem I wrote for one of the guests on our show today, Mark Navarro.
Awesome.
I wrote this for him 2 years ago, and I just wanted to explain that after 3.5 years of grieving for the loss of my partner, not thinking I would ever meet anyone again, Mark came into my life, and at 67 years old, he has made my heart young again. So if I may, I just want to read this quick little poem I wrote to him 2 years ago.
This is cool.
Caught between two worlds of what was and what can be, I'm so tired of living in the past, lost between ashes and lightning. I long for the warmth of your smile, to hold your hand in mine, to find understanding in your eyes, to rejoin the joyful and the living. And when I'm near you, my heart is dancing on a string. And when you're next to me, everything in the world is beautiful. And when I'm near you, stars fall from the sky. And when you are next to me, I feel wonderful and alive. In the beginning, it's always awkward, trying to find the right words to say. I feel so clueless and confused at times, so many crazy thoughts running through my head. If I come off too strong, if I stumble when I speak, if I seem to trip myself up, it's only because I love you. I love you, Mark.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Very nice.
Sorry, I know that was a bit
I'm
going to
cry. I want some more champagne. Oh, my gosh.
Good for you,
that
Michael.
That is beautiful. And so happy about
you.
Yeah,
I wrote that
years
ago.
Cheers.
That's awesome. Cheers to you guys.
Yeah,
Mark,
cheers.
It's your turn. I mean, we can't not have you go next.
Yeah, how do I?
Yeah,
well,
now follow
that.
Has to talk.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So what are you
toasting? I guess let's toast to something a little bit more practical that's sort of dear to me. And let's toast to, you know, making science-based decisions again, which is always kind of nice.
Right on.
You both, right
yay.
On.
I triple toast.
Yay for science.
I like that. I love it. Yeah.
That was 4 years of appalling, you know, action of how science is just ignored.
So, yeah, I toast to science. I really do. That's great. Lee, you get to do a toast next.
Okay. Well, after all of those, I'd like to toast all of you first. And then... I love being part of this community, but I want to toast my husband, Rick, who built a labyrinth for me in the back of our property, and it has helped me to stay sane. And my birthday was in September, and every day since then, I've walked my labyrinth, and I often get out there in the morning, and especially with the snow, I can see that there's deer that come into our yard and they walk part of the labyrinth, which I just think is so kind of
very
bizarre
nice.
And cool. So my champagne toast is to my wonderful husband and my labyrinth that I get to walk every day.
That's awesome.
Here, here. Wonderful.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yay.
I love labyrinths. That's
yay.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. So now, Glenn, over in England, what are you toasting to?
Well, first of all, I'll just say be very careful in case you find a minotaur anywhere in the labyrinth. the person I would like to toast is going to follow on in the theme of tonight's program, but it's also because she's a very important lady in this country, and she's gone through some really, really rough times. Her 99-year-old husband has been taken into hospital, and she's in her 90s. They've been married since 1947, so you know they've been together for a while. Her grandson has just sort of more or less told the family to go and do one, and you know she's a human being, you know. So I'm going to toast to Queen Elizabeth II, because a lot of people think that, you know, she's got everything, but actually she's still a human being, and I feel really sorry for her at the moment. So I toast to the Queen.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
She has endured. She
wonderful.
Has endured.
I had no idea, Glenn.
She had she's
happening.
Endured a lot. And she's kept the country strong.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. I didn't know that was going on too. Okay, so let's go to the Lion and the Rose. I mean, La Di Da. This is a Victorian bed and breakfast. She's a stunning pink lady. Yes, she is. So, Karen, let's go to you. And Karen, she knows how to rock and roll and metal style. She shreds, right, Karen?
All right.
Yeah, you betcha.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are doing weddings. You know, everybody's getting all lovey-dovey here. But you've got a lot of lovey-doveyness going over on at the bed and breakfast.
Ooh.
We do. Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of loving going on. What did you
But that's not how Mr. and Mrs. Wild did not become from that, so let us make that known.
Yeah. Oh. They're nature people. They're nature people like we all are, and they love the nature, the wildlife, the outdoors, mm-hmm. and they're definitely in a good spot to experience that out here in Asheville with Smoky
Absolutely.
Mountains, the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, it's just gorgeous, but what are you toasting mm-hmm. to today?
Well, I'm going to stay with the sappy, lovey kind of feeling. I'm going to toast to all the lovebirds and just celebrating love out there. It's just February is the month of love, and we're so lucky to be surrounded by people that have been here celebrating honeymoons and just romantic getaways. And it's a nice, positive way to be, you know, experiencing moving forward till we hopefully get vaccinated and get past all this COVID.
Mm.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Right on. Right on, right on.
Mr.
Wild, what are you toasting to?
So I give a toast to Mother Nature here because it's a beautiful day and I smell spring around the corner looking at the deep blue sky and sun out. It's just awesome right now. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. Nice.
That's awesome, Steve. Excellent.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful out here.
Yes.
This is a day for hiking. Mm-hmm. We should be out hiking.
Oh, you got that right.
We should be.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So let's go. Okay, so in toasting, I've got to do a toast. It's like, that's the other one. I'm here.
Right.
My toast
Please,
is not lovey-dovey really? Whatsoever. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So I know. I'm sorry, but I'm totally breaking all rules. So I am toasting to William Shatner. I know Nancy's always loved him, but I love William Shatner.
Me too.
And I think he's super funny. And number one, you cannot forget that William Shatner and Iggy Pop did a Silent Night, the Christmas song, together. So I think
that's so
still one of the most epic things
ever.
That
he's Canadian too, right?
Yes. Oh, here we go. At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Yes, here we go. To be fair.
Didn't he sing Lucy in the Sky too or something? Or
he did.
Is that Leonard Nimoy?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Rocket Man.
He's done everything
Rocket
like
Man.
That. It's awesome. Yeah, Rocket Man. He did that. Rocket Man.
Oh, Rocket Man too.
But today, somebody attacked his acting.
Park.
So I follow him on Twitter because he's one of the best people to follow on Twitter is William Shatner. And I've never talked to him on Twitter. And then today I thought I would. Someone went after him. So he went and tweeted, I love how some trolls try and diminish my 70-year career to one role to try and win an argument. And yes, it's a troll. So today I decided, because Nancy, we opened the champagne, and Nancy says, just go do it. So those of you know
Good
that my grandmother, when she remarried, she did, you've heard this on the show, she married a troll. And
she
really
did.
And he was not a nice man, but she married a troll. So I texted William Shatner and said, my grandmother married a troll, her second husband, a bow-legged toothless troll from Guernsey. And it's true. No offense to Guernsey. It's a lovely little island. So anyway, I broke rules of being really positive, nice, and talked about trolls. But I couldn't help it. But there it is. I'm toasting to trolls because they've made me laugh. He's not really that bad a guy, but
that's brilliant.
Just laughing.
That's brilliant, Lisa.
But the movie,
love it.
On the
love
lovey-dovey
it.
Side, we just watched on Netflix the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel
yes.
Pie Society. Guys, have got to watch it if you haven't seen it. It's awesome, and Guernsey is beautiful.
It
is
beautiful
out there. So
but I don't know how he came
story.
From there.
But I don't know. But
songwriter people, you should write a song called "The Bow-Legged Toothless Troll from Guernsey."
I know. Gwen, are you going to get mad at me now because you're in England? Am I going to get in trouble for talking about trolls? I just want
to
know.
That sounds like another beer name to me.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Oh.
Another dog cookie.
See? Glenn, do you take people to Guernsey? Would you do that if they wanted you to go over there with their family history?
If they wanted me to, I could, because I speak French as well. So, I mean, that would be handy in Guernsey. But no, I've never been to Guernsey. I've been to France and Normandy and all that, but I've never been to Guernsey or Jersey.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But yes,
and they have pubs really pretty.
I'd take anybody anywhere.
I know you would. Cool. You would. Yeah, you know. No, he's cool. But Guernsey is beautiful. And so the troll thing, it's like a family joke. But,
are those islands? I don't mean to sound...
Yeah, they're islands.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're the Channel
Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Between England and France. Didn't the great actress Lily Langtry come from one of those islands?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Guernsey and Jersey were the only parts of the British Isles that were actually, but actually, during the Second World War, the German forces actually got onto Guernsey and Germany, and Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only parts of the British Isles that happened.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I want to ask Michael. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Michael.
I was going to say, we saw the underground German hospitals on Guernsey.
Yes, there is, yeah.
And it's really creepy. It is so creepy. I mean, when you go in there, the walls are dripping wet and there's moss growing and then there's hospital beds.
Yeah.
And you're thinking of people who have been wounded in the war. You know, it's so creepy.
The cold thing
and
is
I bet
the guys...
floors are sticky, like sticky buns.
Michael, Lily Langtry. She was known as the Jersey Lily, and she was born in Jersey Island. Jersey,
okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
she was born in
Jersey.
Where
Jersey cows
come
from?
Yeah, Jersey and Guernsey were kind of cows.
They're cows.
Yeah,
they are.
She was just she was on back in those days in the 1800s. They would put pretty women's pictures on the backs of cigarette packs. And Lily's was on the back of cigarette packs, and she became so famous that a bunch of people raised money and brought her over to entertain the cowboys. Seriously.
Well, there you go. That's cool.
She
what
was
a
like
cool
a
story.
Great sex symbol, I guess, of her
she
time.
Was a socialite.
She was
yeah.
from Jersey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's
her nickname? The Jersey Lily.
The Jersey Lily, yeah, the Jersey Lily, not the Jersey cow, but the Lily.
She's named after a racehorse.
She's quite beautiful, I guess.
Just thinking Lily von Stoop from Blazing Saddles.
Here we go. Oh, my gosh.
Are you in show business?
Yes.
Then get your boots off the stage.
There it is.
Bailey Wick
right.
of Jersey.
Listen, it's a good movie. Everyone's got to go see the Guernsey.
Go ahead. Did I still call Jersey the bailiwick of Jersey?
Yes. I don't know what they still
do,
but they used to. Yes, they used to.
Huh.
What's a bailiwick? What's that?
I imagine that's something to do with a castle, because the part of a castle is called a bailey, and a wick is normally to do with a farmstead. So it could well be a farmstead that was enclosed within a castle wall, but I don't know. I've just thought that one up off the top of my head.
Sounds good to me.
Perhaps I'll look it up while I'm sitting here.
Yeah, you know, the one thing too, there's in Guernsey, there was a guy who built a miniature church out of seashells.
Yes.
And I love that church. We got to go there.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Really pretty.
That's cool. But they have puffins, and that's really important that they have puffins. And then on the island of Sark and Jersey, there's no cars, and Gerald Durrell had his place there. That's where he is from. And that's a whole other thing when you get into animals. And Mr. and Mrs. Wild, I know you know about that, right? The animals.
Puffins? No, they're up there.
Puffins. Yeah, I love them. Okay,
yeah,
so you guys,
cute.
We're going to get to our story time, where we're going to each give each other a word. We're all going to get one word, and we're all going to give someone one word. And then we're going to tell exactly what that word comes to your head. You're going to go, okay, whatever memory it is that you share a story from it or whatever's associated with that word that means something to you. But before we do that, since we're going to get into talking about stories, we've got Alice in Wonderland, we've got a Mad Hatter Tea Party song coming, all that good stuff, but we're going to play some music from Michael and Spider when they were in the band Red Wedding. And Michael, isn't this the first song you wrote for Red Wedding, or is it the very
first
one you wrote?
Well, it's the first song we wrote. Spider and I wrote together in 74, but we recorded it in Red Wedding in 84, 10 years later.
And this was when you guys were in L.A.?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Here it is, everyone. Fiction Theater, and you can learn more about Michael and Spider. Go to michaelandspider.com. But here it is. We're going to play it, and we'll bring everyone back. So I'm muting you all while we do this. Take a listen.
Costume.
everyone, again, that was Fiction Theater with Michael and Spider and Red Wedding, and definitely still one of my all-time favorite songs on the planet. Dang it, Michael. Mm-hmm. That is really one of the best songs, I think. That's just like one of my favorites. Every time I hear it, I'm like, uh-oh, mm-hmm. It's a good thing I'm not driving. I'd get a ticket again. Again.
Cool.
I do. I get a little crazy with that song. And Spider's mm-hmm. guitar and your voice, that one part, I'm just like, dude, here we go. Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. Everyone, michaelandspider.com mm-hmm. is the website. They're also on Bandcamp and Amazon. You can find their music there. But I have a really big announcement. And Michael, you wanted to sing today. And we've got a bunch of singers on the show. And it's very important we do a little short happy birthday to Mr. Glenn Burrows, because I have not forgotten it's your birthday, Glenn. Happy birthday, Glenn.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Glenn.
Happy birthday.
27 again.
Birthday to
you. Are we ready to sing? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Glenn.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Birthday, Glenn.
Many more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
I've had to wait 62 years to get an international happy birthday sung to me. That's not bad, is it?
Oh, that's it. I love it.
On the birthday cake.
I know. There it is. Here we go. Okay, so Glenn, since it's your birthday, we're going to play the word game. So you're going to give Nancy, so we can get this started off.
Oh, boy.
You give Nancy a word, and then Nancy, tell a story from your life. Or what does it feel like? Yeah, you have to be first.
I know,
fair.
I always have to be fair.
You're the co-host of the show. To be fair.
If she doesn't want to be first, I'll be first.
Okay.
It's okay.
Ooh, how? Oh, take
what a gentleman you are, Steve.
Oh, scripted moment.
Okay, so Glenn.
It's okay.
Glenn, please give Steve a word.
I think this word, actually, I'd already written it down. I think it would have suited Nancy better, but I'll say it anyway. I'm trying to keep the theme going. You know, I had the Queen of Hearts earlier on, so the word that I'm going to use is drink, me on the bottle.
I volunteer.
Ooh.
Okay.
Let's drink to all of our lives.
We should drink to the mystery of life.
There you go. I like that.
Cheers.
So
thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
So, Nancy or Steve, who is taking the story? Who's going to do the story? Which one of you?
Well, drink. My gosh. I've had plenty of drinks in my life. None that I like ever so much. The next morning I woke up. Enjoy drinking water. How's that?
Yes.
That's a good thing.
It's called a watering hole.
That's your water.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so.
Hopefully Lisa will give my word to you, Nancy.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No,
later.
We're going to go. Wait, so
wait, I'm already confused.
I know.
How does this work?
Everybody's going to give one word, and everyone's going to get one word. So, and that's that. Otherwise, we'll be here for 2 years. So, Steve, your story was drinking. Steve, you're going to give a word to Michael.
Michael, grace.
Oh, I like that word.
And Frankie.
I like that show, too. I like that show. It's fun.
No, in all seriousness.
You forgot about
Grace.
The and
Will
in
and
between
Grace.
Their names.
Will and Grace, yeah.
Grace. It's an old school name for aunties.
What?
Isn't it? Grace, Hilda.
So you don't have any memories of anything, anyone that reminds you that has grace?
No, I'm trying to. No, I'm trying to be graceful and think of something.
So you don't think Barbara has grace?
Yeah.
Well, Barbara has
everything.
Stop it,
dude.
Barbara has everything. She's nailed it all down. No, I think grace is just, when I think of the word grace, I just think of someone who's gracious, who's kind and caring and respectful of others.
Mother Teresa.
And the way that you walk with grace.
No, I heard she was kind of mean. I don't know.
You think?
But, well, in real life, I mean, she did great work, but I hear she was kind of a curmudgeon.
But, Michael, early in the show, you walked with grace.
Ooh.
With what you said earlier in the show.
Oh, thanks.
So, that's wonderful.
That's
why I
one.
Gave you that word.
Thank you.
That's
like an Egyptian.
I'm going to get a tattoo now that says grace.
That's it. Now, Michael, this is dangerous, but you now have to give Nancy a word.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Oh.
Hi,
right.
Michael.
Here's your word, Nancy.
Uh-oh.
Rendezvous.
Oh, I've had plenty of those. Oh, boy. Rendezvous is when you get to, I remember several. Which one shall I pick? Drive-ins are good. No. Clandestine meetings with mysterious men. Well, you had one. Okay, Charles Manson. What about Charles Manson? That was a rendezvous.
The one time I met that guy in the park, and he turned out, this is in Hollywood, and we were going to go on a date, but I always like things to be in public first, you know, not because I didn't really know the guy. And turned out to be part of the Manson gang, so that was a real good one. And we were in the park, and then he just said, "You need to walk away now." And I'm like, "Well, screw you too." You know, he goes, no, you really need to walk away. I'm like, okay. And then he says, "I'm part of the Manson gang. The cops are here." And I turned around, the cops arrested him, and I bailed. So there's a rendezvous for you.
Wow.
Excellent.
I don't think I'd ever get you to pick a date.
No, I gave up after that. That's it. I love that.
My kitchen's closed.
Hey, listen, I want to go back real quick because we're doing words, right? Glenn, you just emailed me about the bailiwick. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah,
bailiwick. Yeah. What? Do you want to tell everybody what it is since we were talking about it earlier?
Yeah, it's more or less what I said. It's an area that's under the control of a bailiff, and the word wick does mean either a small village or a farmstead. So it is a farmstead under the control of a bailiff. So that's basically what it is.
Cool. There you go.
Wow.
So Nancy, I know, I like it. Mm. Nancy, you get to give Lee a word.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Epic. It's a good word. Because it's epic.
The most epic memory I have is when I was 17 and there was a festival of music going across Canada. It was called Festival Express, and it was Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead.
Oh, that's epic.
That's epic.
I got to sit in the performers area and watch them play and go to a party afterwards where I watched Janis Joplin get drunk. I mean, it was epic.
Well, that's shocking.
And I'm sure you didn't think anything of it then.
No, I was a little.
No,
yeah,
of course
no,
not.
She was.
Right.
I was in awe, so I was afraid to even go up and talk to her. So I just watched her from a distance, kind of fall off a chair.
Oh, shame. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
She was so talented.
I've fallen off stage before.
Yeah.
I did. I was performing, and all of a sudden I just went down. I was just like, boom. Boom. Right down.
Happens.
happened. It was my way of life.
It's not always good.
I know I'm showing my age, but I feel like they don't make performers like her anymore.
They
that
don't.
Was like a time period, and those type of rock performers just don't. They're just they don't exist anymore.
No,
no,
and
they don't. You're like right.
The music. The music
our
doesn't
friends.
Exist either.
No, no, you can't. You can't. Like, no one's like Jimi Hendrix is Jimi Hendrix. No one else can
That's
ever
right.
get near him.
You
and
got
Janis,
it.
Heck no.
Jimmy Morrison and all those people.
Yeah, no one can wail like Janis can.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Even,
hell
no.
You know,
hey,
actually, the closest.
It.
No, there's a cat. There's a cat that can do two notes at one time, and she sounds like Janis for 2 seconds. Yeah, there's no. I the closest person I've ever seen they covered it was Melissa Etheridge and Josh Stone performed, and did "Take a Little Piece of My Heart." And
yes,
it was really, really good. Yeah. It's on YouTube, and it was really, really good. However, it still isn't. You know, we interviewed Howard Tate, who wrote "Get It While You Can," which I think is one of the best Janis songs.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah, that's
but
a good
it was.
One.
Good. He came on the show, and then like he died like a month later. It was
yeah,
it was horrible.
Like, yeah,
it was really hard even getting him on the show. Like to actually, he was
well,
trying
he was
to call
older.
In and he didn't understand.
He was really
like,
older.
He was yeah, he was older and he had done a lot of drugs and then cleaned up and then became like a priest or like you know he was like got into gospel and all of that and he it totally changed. But I'll never forget that. That was crazy. But
so he
you
probably
know,
lived by his motto: get it while you can.
I think he.
You know,
I know.
We don't have
Well, get it while you can. I think you could, that goes with the quote of today is Irma Bombeck's birthday. And
cool.
Cool. Yeah. So get it while you can. Check it out. The quote we posted up. See, this is my nice tweet. Seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. So I had to bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Good one, Lisa. So, Excellent.
Lee, you get to give Karen, Mrs. Wild, a word.
Oh, boy. Okay. Karen, banishment.
Oh,
jeez.
Ooh.
You just banished to the island. Yeah. Wow.
Man.
Luckily, I can't say that I've ever really felt true banishment. I mean, isolation. We felt like isolated last year, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a form of it.
Yeah.
Isolated this year, too. You bet.
Yeah. Last year, we really did feel isolated. We had been in this inn for a little over a year, and it was like the first time we didn't have guests, and we had Ozzy. He was a puppy. It was like a few days. He didn't understand why nobody was around. He was going through the house looking for people. He was so sad. He just like, why are the people all gone? Where'd they go?
This one's for Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shoelaces untie.
Yeah.
No shoelaces untie. Nobody to jump on and say love on me.
Aww. Yeah.
So
I,
don't
like
banishment.
Yeah, he
that's a good one. Good thought.
Yeah. That is, you know, but hey, listen, Zelda Fitzgerald,
that,
going back to the Fitzgerald, because when we did your interview at the inn, we were talking about F. Scott Fitzgerald that was here. And I mean, this was a writer's haven in Asheville. At the Socialites, right? We're talking about Socialites too. This place was like going, and it's still doing it in all kinds of ways. It's just like there's a lot of creative people in Asheville, and it's a creative community. It's just awesome. But Zelda Fitzgerald, she was banished to the loony bin. They put her and it did electrical shock to her, and she was an amazing writer. I'm so fascinated, but I want to write a whole thing about them, the two of them, because he would get really drunk, and then she was on all kinds of weird stuff, and so I could only imagine their conversations. Like, it had to be crazy.
Lisa banished herself. During a radio show, she walked outside when we were staying at the inn, and she banished herself to the outside because she couldn't open the door.
I locked myself out.
That made the show more interesting.
No idea. Oh, how funny, Lisa. I love it.
And I will call it leaving because I think it's wrong that they zapped people like that. But they didn't know back then. You have to be nice. But they were doing the zap treatment, and so they made her sit in a holding cell I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, mental health should be about caring and love, not like let me zap you. And
they did that to Frances Farmer too.
Mm-hmm. That's
nothing wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But her mother had them do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, horrible.
Bad.
Mm. So, Karen, you get to give Mark a word.
I'll try to think of something easier. Let's see. Stick with the nature theme and just go with, like, butterfly.
Ooh.
Butterfly.
Nice uplift.
Let's see here. Trying to think of something with butterflies. All I can think of actually is I've actually spent quite a bit of time photographing butterflies. I had a friend that had a butterfly garden, which was actually pretty cool.
Cool.
Very cool.
And what's interesting
is
you think they would be really easy to photograph, but
they're not.
Little tricky little buggers.
Yeah, they are.
They
chase after them trying to get the right shot.
Hey, Mark.
When you approach them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask, do they take off backwards like a housefly does? The houseflies fly backwards before they go forward.
Oh, for that.
Yeah, so do butterflies do that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure because I don't think I've ever seen them.
Well, they do because
so
their legs
quick,
are backwards. Their legs are backwards, so they kind of close their legs down. Like when I've photographed, done a lot of video instead of still,
so
they do that. Yeah, they bend backwards.
I'm
like our knees go forward.
They probably do it, It's like they do it so quickly that it's hard to.
Yeah.
To actually see it.
They're so
pay attention when we see them.
Yeah, they're really cool. We have the botanical gardens here in Tucson, and they actually have a butterfly enclosure that you can walk into, and they'll just land on you, you know, as you're walking
around.
Oh,
wow.
Those are nice.
In all different colors. Really cool.
Those are cool.
That's awesome.
We've seen like what they call a puddle of swallowtails on a pile of dog crap, so they put the fly in butterfly.
That is,
seen that a few times.
By the way, that's called puddling. They do puddling. They do puddling. The butterfly puddling.
Glad we share the same name, Steve.
Are you sure?
Oh my gosh.
Hey, you don't know me, dude. Leave that nasty
butterfly sting like a bee. What about
I do have one actual butterfly success story.
Oh my gosh.
I do actually have one butterfly success story because I have this small orange tree in my front yard in a little pot. And every September or so, I would notice that I would get, you know, one of those little caterpillars. And I was like, oh, so let me take care of this little guy. My goal was trying to get this caterpillar to turn into a butterfly. So this was like 4 years in the making because something would happen to the caterpillar. It would disappear. A bird got it. I don't know what. And then it wasn't last year. It was the year before. There was a little caterpillar, and he got pretty big. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where did he go? It's like, he's gone. And I go, well, there's another one gone. Well, then I actually found the little cocoon in the carport, which was a few feet away right on the edge of the house. And it just happened the day that I pulled up one day, so I saw the little cocoon there, and I go, well, I'm going to leave it there. And the one day I pulled up, and there was the butterfly coming out of the cocoon.
Oh,
cool.
That is
nice.
So cool.
Wow.
And then
I finally
did it.
That's
so
cool.
Really cool? Like,
but, Mark, didn't you say then, and then you ran over it with the car?
No, Michael.
Dude.
Oh, no.
That's nice, Michael. Yes.
Maybe watching a butterfly cocoon and then Dracula comes out.
The weird thing
cool?
is I haven't had any more little caterpillars on that orange tree
anymore.
Well, I
guess
it's
better than
what's going on.
Hand coming out.
Yeah, the hand.
Right.
Hey,
we're running over
I have to tell you, we're interviewing a lady who's bicycled from the tip of Mexico to the top of Canada.
This is so cool.
She was following the migration of monarchs.
The
she's coming on the show. We're going to
so
do this.
So cool.
She's got a book coming
That's
out,
cool.
and she did it to
cool.
raise awareness about what we're doing. And Steve and Karen have an amazing National Wildlife Federation has this program about certifying your garden so that you plant native plants. You do the five things. It's shelter, food, water, and don't put pesticides and everything. So they have a certified National Wildlife Federation garden. We've had them on the show for years, the National Wildlife Federation, but the certified gardens. And then we've seen them all, like, at rest areas. They're doing monarch way station gardens. We're starting to see hotels do them. In your area, Ventana Canyon, you know the Lowe's Ventana Canyon in Tucson, they have a butterfly garden and a monarch garden and a desert native plant garden, and they rescue tortoises. How cool is that?
So that's very cool.
I know all these places do it, and it's cool. Glenn, I wanted to ask, in England, you guys have beautiful butterflies too in the spring. I remember going off and getting berries and crab apples. I had to say apples. But he's going out there because he wants apples and bacon for
apples and bacon
breakfast.
Oh, there's that word again.
I know, but you guys have a bunch of butterflies in England too.
Sorry, Glenn.
We have some absolutely gorgeous butterflies. The Red Admiral is one of the most beautiful. But we really do have a lot of really beautiful butterflies and moths as well. But I mean, I came on here this evening expecting to have a little bit of fun about having a word game, and here I am learning that butterflies' legs are on backwards. You know, I mean, this is just so educational.
Well, it also
that's
the point. This is the point. Now, Lee, to speak on butterflies, Lee, I think that you should take, you've got your labyrinth, right? And then do all the butterfly plants around the labyrinth so that you can walk with the butterflies in the labyrinth. It's all about transformation.
That's a great idea.
Butterflies are a symbol of transformation. Yeah.
And then put your legs on backwards and walk it backwards.
But don't step in the poo. Don't step in the poo. Don't step in the poo. That's it. That's, you know. So Mark, you get to give Glenn a word.
I get to give Glenn a word. Ooh, spicy.
Sorry, what was the word?
Spicy.
Gosh. I'm trying to think.
Come on, Glenn.
Curry. Come on, you got curry over there.
Does it go with
you? I'm just trying to. Oh, I remember once. Our son went to school, obviously. And he used to do cookery because, you know, that's what we do over here. Boys and girls do cookery classes. Mm-hmm. And one night he came home and he'd actually made a pizza. And this looked absolutely lovely. Only the trouble was that he had put a whole chili on this pizza. And Diane and I, being the dutiful parents, we sat and we ate the pizza, nearly made ourselves explode. And when we'd finished, you know, he said, what did you think about the pizza? So we said that was fine, but it was, you know, you should have only put a little bit of the chili on it. We looked at his plate and he had actually taken all the chili off his pizza, which, you know, sort of proved the point, really. You know,
that's funny.
But there you go.
Oh, Glenn, wonderful story.
That was pretty spicy.
Good for him.
I can picture it. Oh, that's awesome.
They burn on the way in and on the way out, don't they?
That
is called ring burn.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it's ring burn. Ring around the rosy.
I had a half chili burn that was pretty bad a few years ago.
Hey, wait, Lee, what do they say in Canada for things like that? I need to know now because he's got all kinds of things from Canada.
You know, I'll have to do a little bit of research because, I mean, we just say if you're going to have spicy food, make sure you've got the toilet paper in the freezer the night before.
But don't use
I've never
angel
thought of that.
A good idea.
I've never thought about toilet paper in the freezer. No, I know, really, Charmin. My Jaime.
Yeah, Charmin would be better.
Charmin in the freezer? That poor little bear.
No, Angel Fresh in the freezer. Just have Charmin outside. The blue one, not the red one.
So does it come out with icicles on it when it's in the freezer?
I'm becoming a shitty conversation.
I know. Don't dive. All right. I've got a little paper in the freezer tonight. That's just so I can relate to this. Put a label on it. Dirty Godiva.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Glenn, you get to give a word to Mr. Wild Steve here at the Lion and the Rose.
Yeah, before I do that, you know that nowadays we recycle everything, don't we? You know, we're always recycling things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on our toilet paper, it actually says recycled toilet paper.
Ew. I know, they do. There is recycled paper.
Anyway.
It's recycled paper, but it's not the toilet. And
no,
you could have
it says out there, this used to be a tree.
No, but it's paper, recycled. They don't have the poop in the recycle, but there's composting toilets. And I was thinking on the road, because sometimes you got to go. And I've had like, two crazy situations on the tour where you've eaten something and next thing you know, you're in the middle of nowhere and there's nowhere to go and you're in the bushes off of a scenic highway.
Turquoise. Why is there always a turquoise outhouse? Why are there turquoise?
I don't know. Oh, remember the turquoise outhouse? That was terrible. But I really talk about flies. There were flies in there, and I had to go on the floor.
Well, I'm laughing, Lisa, because of my memories of your stories. Sheesh.
No, I've done things in places I could write a book about having to go on the road, and so I was thinking to get one of those portable toilets. But then I'm like, how are you going to balance in the car? You know, and try to do this, but you can get them composted.
Lisa went potty in the bush and the train went by.
No, the truck was like, no, I was wearing
Well, combustible might not be a bad thing.
Josh did Northwest Nevada on Highway 395 outside Death Valley
so
and Ridgecrest
funny.
And all of that. And it was like, I have to go now. And now,
and I'm
and
like,
it's
dude,
not
you're
funny.
On a railroad track.
No, we pull over, and I'm in the bushes, hands on my hands and knees, so that I knew that. And I'm going down, and I'm in the desert, the thorns.
So
I'm going down.
Are you really telling us this?
But this has got its
thorns
on
the one side.
And a
no,
train
it's funny because
other.
I've heard it before.
I know. And the truck drivers drive by, and we get down the road, not even like what, 5 miles or whatever. But 5 miles means something if you got to go. And we get pulled in at the rest area, and there's the truckers, all the truckers that drove by me. And I'm like, you know, doing the clench all the way to the
truck. You know, there's something wrong when you pull into a truck stop and all the truckers
my eyes,
start honking
my
their
eyes.
Horn. Seriously, something wrong.
Glenn, this is your fault. Glenn.
Hello.
Glenn. You're
just
English.
You, Glenn, another shitty conversation.
I know, yeah. Glenn, you're the proper one.
Good way.
You're supposed to, you know, came on starting with the queen. Like, come on. Okay, Glenn, give Mr. Wild a word.
Yeah. Right.
And don't
I'll
say shit.
I'll try and bring it back a little bit.
Yes.
I'll bring it
okay.
back.
Save us.
Right. Let's just. All right. So we'll go back to where we were before, and I'm gonna use the word. It's sort of two words. Am I allowed two words?
Okay.
Go. It's your birthday.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Right. I'm gonna use the word pocket watch.
Oh.
Cool.
Mm. That's cool. Oh, go on, Mr. Wild. Pocket watch with a compass in it, because we all need that. That's different.
Yeah, let me think.
Not bad.
Pocket watch. Wow.
Yeah,
a friend who's in pocket watches.
Think grandfather.
Think you have to watch what's in your pocket.
Yeah. Pocket watch.
Oh, my God.
Pocket pool now. Well, I actually got I have a small pocket watch that my mom passed down to me that's been in our family for a long time. It's
nice.
Sweet.
She entrusted me with it because she thought my brothers would probably pawn it. So.
Oh. Wow.
But yeah, it's an old heirloom, probably from the late 1800s, and still got it to this day. I haven't pawned it yet.
That's neat. Do you have to wind it?
Yeah, wind up thing. It's a little wind up one. It's got the little. I think it's got like the little. Like a picture behind it and all that, and of somebody
that's
in the family, and
brilliant.
That's cool.
When you open things up, they're a work of art inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah,
they are.
It's amazing.
Little gears, it's incredible.
That's
and the cover's got like the engraving in it and all that with the like the design. Probably hand. I'm sure it's hand engraved.
That you have that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat, but it doesn't work. But
Glenn
does.
No, but that's okay.
But isn't this a big deal? Glenn, as a family historian, this is something that you guys all get into, right? Isn't there, like, lockets and pocket watches? Don't they hide things in there, like locks of hair, or is that just a locket thing?
Yeah, So often you will find an engraving in there, you know, to Fred, lots of love from Mary or whatever, you know. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, that is a piece of family history,
cool.
which... is just amazing. It's really personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that somebody had right close to them, you know, was their most important thing. You know, so, you know, something like a pocket watch, you know, if there's an English one, it'll have a silver hallmark or a gold hallmark on it and tell you the date of it. You know, it's
cool.
So much that
very
that
nice.
Sort of thing, it really is a personal item that should be treasured.
Yeah, I want to say it's made by Longines, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to go look at it again.
Huh.
And Longines is a good name for watches, especially here.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if they still make watches, do they?
I have no idea.
Something I find interesting is a friend of mine is a high school teacher, and he said about 1/3 of his students can't read a watch or a clock.
Oh my gosh. That's scary.
Yeah,
and
they don't need it anymore.
I saw a YouTube clip of something like that where they're trying to show teenagers stuff like that, like a dial phone and
the dial phone watch.
Yeah.
Just like cursive writing. Nobody cursive writes anymore. We all print.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same thing. You can write in code just doing cursive writing.
Yeah.
Remember shorthand? Remember shorthand?
Seen that.
Yeah,
people
shorthand.
Would do shorthand.
Yeah.
Remember
shorthand?
Yeah, I had to take that in school, in high school.
Yeah, my sister did shorthand.
And then, my first job, I had to take shorthand while some dude talked.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm trying.
And that was
down.
Like your dictation, right?
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
And then you have
As
to go
they
and make
talk to you,
sense
you did
of it.
That, and then you typed it up.
Yeah, and then
instead
you,
of
yeah.
doing it on a tape recorder.
Yeah, and so you go back and then you read your handwriting going, I'm so in trouble because I have no idea what I scribbled. I had cartoons in there.
But you figured it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, and
now.
Then you just make up stuff and then
did.
He goes, well, this is better than what I said. I'm like, yeah. You do not want to see Nancy's cartoons. But yeah, Glenn, do you find that? That's an interesting thing on family history we've never talked about. We've talked about names always being changed when people move, like to different countries and things.
Yeah.
But we never talked about
actual
shorthand being part of research. Do you find that when you do research?
Yeah, very much so. Because, I mean, I remember that I was looking through a parish register once. And I found a child that was baptized, and the vicar had written down that his name was Extopher. So there was an X, and then T-O-P-H-E-R. So I then I went to the archivist, and I said, "What word is this, Extopher?" And he said, "Oh, that's Christopher, because X means Christ."
Yeah.
Which it does, doesn't
right.
it? You know,
Xmas. It does.
Xmas is not Xmas.
I knew you were going to say that.
Should,
cool.
Yeah.
Xmas should still be pronounced Christmas because that's what it is.
Yeah.
But in medieval documents especially, they use a lot of shorthand. So you'll find, especially in things like wills and manor court books, you will find a lot of shorthand. Because, you know, paper was very expensive. So if you could write two lines in the space of one line, then that's what you would do, wouldn't you? because,
right.
you know, it takes up less space.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Aren't you glad? I do.
Aren't you glad that I came on here
so
and
much.
I brought the... Yes. I brought the conversation round again. Look at me. See,
he
look
calmed
at that.
Us down. Except for it's time for my word. And I'm scared because Mr. Wild has to give me my word, and then we get to play Hollywood history
okay.
with some music. But I'm scared about it. I'm scared of Mr. Wild. We've had too many.
Go on,
yeah.
Mr. Wild. Make it a good one.
Steve, give her
a good one.
Give her
a good
one
beat.
From Steve.
I was gonna say beanbag toss.
Oh, no. I could say beanbag. So it's like
is
a happy
like,
sack. Yeah,
it's like cornhole.
Is that
yeah.
cornhole?
he's insinuating cornhole there, really.
Cornhole or Mimsy wasn't supposed to be mentioned.
No, don't start. I'm sorry. Are you serious about beanbag toss? You want me to?
Sorry.
Do
no. I just don't be
stupid.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me think of something better. Let's see.
Cornhole.
Mimsy.
That goes more with the story. Uh-oh, we're right back.
Such bad children.
Fun
see,
show.
How about...
if you just even use the word fart or poop, everybody gets the giggles. It's like, that's it. That's it. We all become children.
Such baby.
Give her beer. Give her beer.
Yeah. Give her a beer.
Beer.
Yeah, okay. How about...
I'll take a beer.
That's a new word. Give her beer.
Well he...
Yeah.
You know
how about
what?
Beer? Yeah, beer's good.
Beer's great. So beer... When growing up in South Africa, there was a lot of beer and mostly lager, and it was good. It was really good. And so there was a lot of beer. No, I know that the story. I'm just trying to say what I
Be
can
careful.
Say on the air.
That's
I'm warning you. I'm glaring at you right now.
Well, we already said MZ, so who cares?
Okay, beer. Okay, but actually, this is the cool thing. Beer for me, when I think about stories, it's like really exciting to see a lot of breweries. Here's my story. Mm-hmm. When we started the magazine in 97, it was in San Diego, and we launched at the same time as Stone Brewery. You remember? You
yes.
know Stone Brewery?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There, mm-hmm. they launched. We had our openings pretty much almost to the day of our business.
Wow.
We joined the same Chamber of Commerce at the same time,
and we went to see
and
them.
We went to their opening and. When they first opened, and they're to me, I don't see their beer that much. Maybe here, maybe we'll get it here because we're in Beer City, USA, by the way. They make a beer called Arrogant Bastard, which I love. It's been great IPAs, but it was the beginning of our business. That was the beginning of the blend when we were a print
mm-hmm.
magazine that we covered North and East San Diego as print. Yeah. That was before Google, before everything. And we went to a beer tasting, and I remember this being like the first true brewery in America that wasn't like party beer and going out with friends or whatever. This was like a true brewery experience that I had
mm-hmm.
in this country. And we had them in South Africa because we actually did a contest in South Africa where they all entered in the magazine Nancy had in South Africa, and they won all this beer. Like piles and piles of beer. I can't remember how many. And I had to go pick it up. And I went into beer heaven. I drove in and I went into a beer warehouse. That was my thing. And
good
I learned how
you.
To drink. That was crazy. But here, Stone Brew now is actually one of the people that started the whole San Diego brewery scene.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego is up there with Colorado and Asheville in being mm-hmm. amazing about beer. And it was just cool because we started... And they were in, it was at the beginning where they were starting to do the industrial complexes. And that's interesting when you think about how things are changing now. The industrial complexes were going away. Those big business areas were going away. And they were turning into breweries at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that's my story. I like the Arrogant Bastard
that's
the best.
That's awesome, Lisa. Proud of you.
Very nice.
You turned it into something really cool.
Well, it's about now, and business is changing, and
good
we
word,
all have
Steve.
To look at working together.
Thanks,
beer is a good one. Beer is good. Thank you all for joining us. It has been such a pleasure. We're going to close with Steve Schneikert's Hollywood History. We got a little Alice of Wonderland magic, and then Michael and Spider's song The Mad Tea Party will be the closing part, and that's off the Smoke and Mirrors album, and I love this. I know we've done this on radio plays before, but it's like so good to get into the archives of things and air them. Again, everyone, The Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, go to lion-rose.com. Thank you guys for joining us, and I hope we get to say hi before we leave
thank
tomorrow.
You.
I don't know, but thanks for joining us.
I hope so. Yes, thanks
everyone.
For having us.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
to
you,
meet
everyone.
Everyone.
Thank yep. you all for everything,
yep.
my
that was
friends
fun.
I already know. To Steve, Lee, and all of you, thank you for meeting you.
Thank
my
you, guys.
Great meeting yeah. you,
thank you,
too.
Likewise. Thank
everyone,
you.
Thank you
keep in
thank
touch.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to give everyone's website, lion-rose.com. Lee Brovedani, the trust architect, go to leebrovedani.com. Norfolk Tours for birthday boy Glenn Burrows. Go to norfolk-tours.co.uk. Mark Navarro's photography, go to marknavarrophotography.com. Steve is up on blendradioandtv.com, our website there. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com, but also for music, which you're going to hear in a little bit, go to michaelandspider.com. Thanks, everybody. Here's some Hollywood history from Steve.
Thank you. Love you.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello. Goodbye. I'm late.
Charles Lutwidge Dodgson was an English writer, mathematician, Anglican deacon, and photographer. From a young age, Dodgson wrote poetry and short stories. At one time, Charles was quoted as saying, "I do not think I have yet written anything worthy of publication, but I do not despair of doing so someday." On 26 November 1865, a literary genius was born. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was published. Dodgson used the pen name of Lewis Carroll, just in case his story was a failure to the critics. Mr. Carroll would follow up with a sequel in 1871 titled Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There, which includes the poem Jabberwocky and the poem The Hunting of the Snark. Snark, 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 snark. All examples of the genre of literary nonsense. He is noted for his facility at wordplay, logic, and fantasy. Beginning in 1903 and through 2014, there have been many film adaptations made based on Alice in Wonderland. I have three favorite versions of the timely classic. 1933's film classic, co-starring W.C. Fields as Humpty Dumpty, Edna May Oliver as the Red Queen, Cary Grant as the Mock Turtle, Gary Cooper as the White Knight, Edward Everett Horton as the Mad Hatter, Charles Ruggles as the March Hare, and Baby LeRoy as the Joker. Remember how Snow White thrilled you? Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. How Cinderella won your heart. Put them together and what have you got? Bippity-boppity-boo. Now Walt Disney brings you his third heroine of fiction, 1951's Alice in Wonderland. Oh, the factories may be roaring with a boom-a-lack-a-zoom-a-lack-a-wee, but there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. Lastly, 1985's version, shown as a miniseries, debuted 9 December on CBS, directed by the charming Harry Harris, who I have worked with in the past, and produced by the legendary Irwin Allen, who I have not worked with. I have never seen a more star-studded cast in my life, the who's who of television and film. I will name a few, otherwise this segment will go on for a week. Sherman Hemsley, Scott Baio, Sammy Davis Jr. as the Caterpillar, Telly Savalas as the Cheshire Cat with a bald head, no less. Jane Meadows as the Red Queen, her real-life husband, Steve Allen, as the gentleman in a paper suit, and so many more. Merv Griffin, Ringo Starr, Red Buttons, Donna Lou Connor, Martha Ray, Imogene Coca, and Sid Caesar. Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet as O'Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Jonathan Winters as Humpty Dumpty, Carl Malden as the Walrus, and Louie Nye as the Comforter. And still the list goes on. My favorite character is Carol Channing as the White Queen, as she sings Jam Tomorrow. Bread and butter, bread and butter. Yes, I pinned it here, and yes, I pinned it there. Jam tomorrow, jam yesterday, but never ever jam today. I'm Steve Schneikert, and this is Hollywood History as I recall it.